And I'm going to do. All right. So I like to do that so the recordings, the quality of the recordings are good for those people who couldn't be here today. And I just want to reiterate that by no means does that mean that you aren't supposed to participate. I encourage you to participate early and often and as much as you can. And the more the merrier, truly. So welcome back. This is The Truth About Sales. This is week number 8. And last week, first of all, congrats for coming back. Last week was verbal pacing and leading. Most people think that it's the biggest, toughest, hardest part of the whole course. And so after that, everything else should be easy and streamlined and downhill. What we're up to today and next week are probably the two of the easiest to learn that have the most horsepower. So what we're up to in the next couple of weeks, I hope, is really going to rock your boat. I think you're going to dig it. our topic today is relationship and choice. So as contrasted to the way most people operate is they say, well, here's what I think, and do what I say, and believe me, and trust me. And those are all opinions. Opinions leave us subject to judgment. So I guess the real question is, what would be possible in your life, in your world, if you could communicate with other people and be able to turn off their judgments? Like, let that sink in for just a moment, right? That's how we all respond to each other. We're constantly judging each other, constantly, right? So what if we could turn that off? We could speak to other people and not have them judge us all the time. So that's kind of what we're up to. All right. Before we get into new stuff, let's do a little check-in. So last week was verbal pacing and leading. Super, super powerful topic. And I think pretty straightforward, right? Once we get really clear on what's a pace and what's a lead, then all we need to do is pace, 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 lead. Right? So any questions, any thoughts, any ahas, anything about what we're up to last week, would you like to share one that you wrote? Would you like to share one that you created? Any thoughts, any questions, anything before I start dumping more stuff on your head? Oh, by the way, *6 unmutes your phone and pulls you into the queue.
This is
the time. Milton.
Hi.
Hello, Milton.
How you doing?
Hi there. I'm doing awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm doing good too. I've noticed that I've been really practicing this in kind of every conversation I'm attempting
good.
To have. And what I'm noticing is it's sounding like the same pattern every single time, especially on the third, I guess the third level, the last number 3, the pace lead.
Yeah.
And I guess my question is that normal? Am I doing something wrong? Or is that something that I can take advantage of and kind of canning it a little bit?
What do you mean it's sounding the same? What do you mean by that?
For example,
are you repeating a pace?
Kind of.
Okay.
But if it's a different intention, like sign the contract or set the appointment, which is the close.
Yeah, totally okay. By the way, I think it's awesome if you use sign the contract and whatever as part of the lead and use them more than once, no problem. I think in the beginning, when you're first learning especially that technique, it doesn't surprise me that it sounds maybe a little repetitive. My recommendation
yes.
is that you focus on keeping it really short. And if it's a little bit repetitive, it's okay. And remember just to keep focused on the intention. So always start with, you used sign the contract. So I trust this was for a listing presentation?
It was. And when I say sign the contract, I mean that was the close.
Yeah. Okay. So the intention will write the close. So you're at an appointment. What's your intention? Sign the contract, right? So sign the contract is going to be the close. And it could be sign the contract. It might mean fill out the paperwork. It might mean hire me right now. Right? There's a lot of different ways that we can say sign the contract. So
yeah.
If we're just rolling through this piece by piece, you know, it's you could say, and I'll do one just kind of off the top of my head and make it a little bit repetitive and just feel how it sounds and see if this is an issue for you. Right? So you could say something like, here we are sitting in your kitchen talking about getting your home sold and getting you moved to Florida. Isn't this exciting? Oh, sorry, that was a tie down. Because I'm committed to helping you get to your grandkids. Right, line one, space, lead. Then line two, you told me you wanted to be there in 3 months, and you think your house is worth about $650. Naturally, we want to get you as much as possible in the sale, right? That's what you want, right? A couple of paces, a lead, a tie down. Now, line three, you said you want to be there in a couple of months to play with your grandkids, right? I'm repeating. So the sooner we sign the contract, the sooner we get you to Florida.
Okay, that's where my question is then. Can I ask another one? Sorry,
please,
to take over.
Please.
Okay, so at that third pace, I'm finding myself saying pretty much the last two paces I set. So what I'll say is something like, because you want the most money possible, you realize a powerful agent like me is what you need. Put me to work right now, sign the contract. So I guess my question,
great,
concern was that line three pace, I'm kind of repeating the line two pace, saying because of this, you want this close. Is that something I can continue doing?
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know that there's like a really hard and fast rule. I would I don't see any problem with it, and I would write the whole thing out, and I would read it out loud like in the mirror and see how it feels. Right? If you have one written out, you can read it now. I'd love to hear it. But I don't think that it's hard and fast. And certainly on line three, you could repeat again and say, like on line two, I said, we want to sell the house for as much money as possible. That's what you want, right? All the money? And they go, yeah, of course I do. So on line three, we could say, in order to get you all the money, right, because you want as much money as possible, Pace, you want to hire a powerful agent like me. Let's go ahead and sign the contract and get you moved.
Okay, so there's no right way. There's no right way.
There's just the way that sounds good and feels good, and they work or they don't work.
Okay, yeah. That was my question. Thank you.
Yeah, I got no problem making a repeat in there either. No problems.
Yeah, no, this is great for – I got stuck at the end of my presentation. I used it, and it definitely worked. So thanks.
Awesome. Yeah, congrats, man. Cool. Anybody else? Questions, comments while we're here? Going once, going twice? Cool. All right, I have before we jump into the next topic, I have a really quick announcement, or not really announcement, favor to ask. So we did a little promotional piece yesterday for the next launch of the workshop. Two things are really different that I've changed in the next launch. One thing is we changed the name. We had a bunch of people say they didn't like the name. We did a little research. So currently this course is called The Truth About Sales. And the new name, the new launch that happens next week, it's called The Language of Agreement. So it's every time I teach this course, I edit it and modify it a little tiny bit. So this next launch is very similar to the course that you're in. There's a couple of edits. There always are. The biggest change for the next launch is that we are, for the first time ever, attempting to do it via a live video webinar. So you'll be able to see me, and if you queue in, I'll be able to see you. The reason I'm sharing all this, I know you're in the class now, you're not going to sign up again for next week, is we did a little promotional piece yesterday, and we had some sort of cyber attack, and somebody took down my website, the joelrico.com, all those websites. They were all down yesterday because some person attacked it, and it took my marketing guru half the day to get it back online. So I have no idea who would want to do such a thing. And I just thought I would reach out to all of you and ask very nicely if this course has been good for you, if it's been helpful, if you've gotten something good out of it, any sort of plug or promotion that you could do, you know, put it on your Facebook, tell the people in your market center to help me generate sales for the next launch next week would be awesome. And if you have two people that sign up and say that you recommended them, then you can come take the class again for free. All right, that's enough of my sales nonsense. So let's do some new stuff for today, shall we? And again, it's your call. Star 6, jump in, interrupt, ask questions anytime, anytime, anytime. All right. So where are we starting? Questions last week, report and leading, we did that. All right, so today, let's start with another layer on the rapport game, right? So the better you are at getting into rapport, the easier it is to get connected with people, and the more in rapport you are, the more that they will open up and they'll share without protecting themselves. The more that you generate rapport, the easier the whole job is. So that's a piece of cake. When you're in rapport, everything's possible. When you're not in rapport, oh my God, it's so much work, it's so much hassle, it's dang near impossible when you're not in rapport. So our rapport game for this week, right, keep doing all the other stuff, match their rate of speech, match their volume, match all those other things. Our rapport level for this week is body language. So body language tells us a fair amount. And what we're going to do is we're going to start by just doing our best to get in sync with their body language. So we're going to look at three different things in body language. We're going to look at gross body movements. So there's three parts. Part one is gross body movements. So what do I mean by gross body movements? Well, gross, not gross like disgusting, gross like large. So gross like large. So a gross body movement is moving, standing up, sitting down, moving an arm, moving a leg, crossing your legs, blah, blah, blah. And so the goal with gross body movements are we're going to wait about 20 or 30 seconds, and then we're going to do something similar. That means if they cross their legs, we're going to wait 20 or 30 seconds, and then you're going to cross your legs, right? Because that's rapport generating. Now, if they cross their legs and then you immediately cross your legs right away, it's going to look funny. It's going to feel funny. It's going to be odd. So take a small delay. Let it sit for a moment, like 20 seconds, 30 seconds, and then you cross your legs. Or the real answer is that you do something similar. Okay, so what if they cross their legs and you wait 20, and your legs are already crossed? What about that? So if they cross their legs and your legs are already crossed, that's a good sign, right? Now, maybe they're pulling into rapport with you, maybe. So I would wait 20 or 30 seconds, and then I would maybe cross my legs the other direction. Okay, gross body movements might be, let's say that your client keeps bringing their hand up to their face. Like maybe they keep bringing their hand up to adjust their glasses. They keep fiddling with their glasses, fiddle with their glasses, push up the glasses, push up the glasses. So their gross body movement is bringing a hand up to their face for whatever reason that is. So if you're not wearing glasses, you literally could, you don't have to do it every time, but every so often, you could bring your hand up to your face and rub your eye, maybe, right? Because that just, it's subconsciously telling the client that you're in sync, right? I'm just like you. If you're sitting at the kitchen table and the client is leaning in on their elbows and you're looking at the CMA and you're saying, well, look at this one, look at that one, everybody's leaning in and checking this out, and the client, like, wow, and they take a lean back, and they lean back in their chair and put their hands behind their head and lean back and like, wow, that's a big deal. Let me think about that for a minute. Right? Totally change their whole body posture. You wait 20 or 30 seconds and then sit back in your chair. You don't have to copy their position exactly. In fact, I recommend that you don't copy, but, you know, get in rapport or be in sync. Do something similar, right? If your client keeps picking their nose, don't pick your nose, but occasionally bring your hand up to your face, right? Scratch your ear, rub your eye, whatever, right? Something. All right, that's the first one, gross body movement. That's the most complicated one. The second one is facial expressions. So facial expressions, there's no delay. They're instant. Somebody smiles, you smile. If you're looking at the CMA and they're expecting 800,000, the prices are 600,000, and they go, oh, my God, then you do it too. Wow, I know. Right? In sync. When you see a toddler and they smile and wave, hi, then you smile, hi, right back. Right? Facial expressions are no delay. They do it, you do it. Level number three is hand gestures. Hand gestures. So consider some people, I call them Italians, talk with their hands a lot, right? Wave their arms around, use their hands, lots of very animated hand gestures, whatever. So pay attention to a couple of things. Pay attention to how big are their hand gestures. Are their hand gestures contained in like they're holding a basketball in front of their chest, and that's how big their zone is? Or is it like they're holding a beach ball? Or is it like they're, you know, full 5-6 foot arm stretch, some giant thing, right? So take a notice on what's the scale of their hand gestures. And then also notice if they're doing anything in specific, in particular. Is there one hand gesture they're repeating? Are they, you know, just kind of get a feel for it. Then, here's the key, only when it's your turn to speak, do something similar. Right? So imagine your client is using these giant hand gestures. They're very animated. They're fully Italian. They're waving their arms around. They're all these hand gestures, super animated, super active, and you have your hands in your pockets. That's going to feel weird. So get in sync with where they are. And if you normally have big hand gestures and your client has their hands in their pockets, you don't have to put your hands in your pockets, but you want to, like, really calm them down, put your hands at your side, really reel it in. So you're kind of in the same ballpark. So why do we keep doing this? Well, we do this because one of the keys to communication is getting connected. And human beings trust their own tribe. And the more we can communicate in their style, like their tribe, like their friends, like their family, like them, the more we get unconsciously invited into their tribe, and they listen because we're no longer a weird stranger they're protecting themselves from. And once we get in rapport, once rapport happens, then we can start to lead a little bit. Right, I want to subconsciously lead them. All right, so that's our rapport game theme for today. Remember, gross body movements, 20 or 30 second delay, do something similar. Facial expressions, no delay. They smile, you smile. They frown, you frown. that's the same thing too. Facial expressions, same thing with shoulder shrugs. I don't know. I don't know either. Right, no delay. And then hand gestures, something similar, only when it's your turn to speak. Okay, questions, comments, anything about that before we get into some technique? Right, and then there's a couple of questions there for you to ponder, right? So the first one is, what does it mean when somebody crosses their arms? It's commonly taught that when somebody crosses their arms in front of their chest, that they're closed off. Really what they're doing is they're protecting their heart. So they're protecting themselves. It means they're not listening. Is that true? Maybe. Maybe it means they're cold. Right? Maybe they're just trying to keep themselves warm. I don't know what it means. It might mean that. Right? What does it mean when somebody's really fidgety and they can't sit still and they're tapping a pen or tapping their foot? Da 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 da. What does that mean? I don't know. Does it mean that they're bored? Does it mean that you're going too slow? Maybe. Maybe. Might mean they have to pee. I don't know. Right? So pay attention to these things and see if you can. They're just feedback. Nothing means one thing all the time. They're just feedback. All right. Questions, comments, anything about that? Because we're jumping into relationship and choice.
Yes. I'm sorry, Joe. What you were just going over, where is that in week 8? I'm trying to find that. You said there were questions. I can't find the question where it asks, what does it mean when someone...
At the beginning, it says some questions to ponder. There's a few questions. Then it says rapport game. And then right under rapport game, it should say, what does it mean when somebody crosses their arms?
For week 8?
I'm on week 8. Does that not say that in your handout? I have the teacher notes. So I have notes and stuff all scribbled all over mine. You guys have the pretty ones, so I trust it's in there. Anybody else want to confirm that? Is that in week 8? It should be right before. If you go on a page or two, it says relationship and choice. Most of our communications are strings of opinions. Do you see that? Should be
on page
right
2. Mine is the index on page 2. So page 3 is the wins, breakthroughs, and ahas you had during last week.
Okay, keep going. Okay, keep going. It's after that.
I heard a lot during the campaign speeches. Then it says rapport game.
So right under rapport game.
It's blank lines for me to fill in.
And under the blank lines, it should say, there should be a question, what does it mean when somebody crosses their arms?
No, I don't see that.
Keep going down or the next page, it should say relationship and choice.
Yeah, I see relationship and choice.
So it should be between relationship and choice and the rapport game. So maybe it's those blank lines right there.
It's not there. It's just blank lines.
All right, so maybe I'm poising the question to you. What does it mean when somebody crosses their arms? I don't know. It might mean they're cold. It might mean they're closed. It might mean they're protecting their heart. I don't know.
Okay, so I don't see anything about what you just went over. That's what I'm saying. I don't see anything on this
page. Well, the rapport game is always just blank lines for you to take notes because I want you to take notes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then the questions you said that's on here, they're not on here then.
Oh, maybe not. Maybe they're just on my handout.
Yeah, maybe so. Does anyone else see this?
Well,
am I the only one on the call?
I just wrote it down.
Yeah, so then I request that you poise these questions to yourself. What does it mean when somebody, you're talking to somebody and they cross their arms? What does that mean? I don't know.
Okay.
A lot of teachers that teach similar material say, oh, that means that they're closed, they're not listening. You should never cross your arms when you're talking to somebody because that tells them that you're not listening. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Okay.
And then the next question there was, what does it mean when somebody's really fidgety and they can't sit still? I don't know. Maybe they had too much coffee today. Maybe they have to go to the bathroom. I don't know what it means. It's just a sign, and it's another place for me to look for being in rapport.
Okay.
Awesome. Helpful?
Okay. Yes. I was just lost because I didn't see any of this conversation anywhere on here. Okay.
Sorry about that. All right.
Thank you.
So, yeah, thank you. And that was Crystal, I think, right? I'm trying to get all the voices.
Yes, Crystal.
All right. Thank you, Crystal.
Thank you.
All right. So let's jump into relationship and choice. All right. Let this sink in as a thought to consider. Most human communications, most, are strings of opinions, judgments, and subjective personal observations. This is the best thing in the world. This is the best beer ever. It's light and great tasting and less filling. Those are opinions. Those are judgments. Those are personal, subjective observations. Even the news is opinions. This is great. This is horrible. This is amazing. You got to have one of these. This is fantastic. All of those are opinions. And so what happens? It's cold in here. It's hot in here. I'm a Raiders fan. I'm a Cowboys fan. You know, oh, you have a runny nose. That means you need a bowl of chicken soup. The Democrats don't know what they're doing. You should vote Republican. The Republicans don't know what they're doing. You should vote Democrat. All of those are opinions. So what happens to you when I start spewing opinions? This is the best football team in the whole world. This is the best pizza in the whole planet is over here at this place. Oh, my God, this is, you have to try this pizza. It's so good. What happens when I start spewing opinions? Well, the only thing that can happen is it forces you to listen through a filter of judgment. Is that true? Is it really the best pizza in the whole world? Are you exaggerating? Is it as good as this pizza? I don't know. Maybe you're related to the owner. That's why you like that pizza. Right? When we spew opinions, we force people to be in judgment. I don't want my clients in judgment, right? Because every opinion in and of itself is, every opinion and judgment is open to being judged, right? When I say, like the car that I drive an Audi, and I love it. And so when I say, I think Audi makes the best car in the world, it's totally opinionated. It's a totally biased statement. So when I say that, I don't know what happens for you. Most likely you're going to say, oh, yeah, well, sure, the expensive German ones, if they cost that much. Or you're going to say, I don't know about that. My Toyota is pretty awesome. Or, really, Audi? I like my Mercedes. Oh, those suck. I like the BMW. So when I say Audi is the best car in the whole world, it forces you to go into judgment. I don't want you in judgment. Where do I want you? I want you to think. So how do I cause the client, the prospect, how do I get them to think? And if I'm not spewing my own biased opinions, how do I talk? Like, what choice do I have? Well, that's our structure today. We're going to do three different structures today on relationship and choice, and they are the way out of spewing our bias. So the first one is called a conditional bind. Now, a conditional bind is a relationship between a pace and a lead, right? Good thing we did pacing and leading last week, right? You're all experts now. So it's a relationship between a pace and a lead based on conditionality, meaning that if this pace is true, right? And what's a pace? Something that's always true for the client. So if they agree to the pace, they always do, then here's my lead. And most likely they'll accept that lead. So that's it. Conditional bind is if pace, then lead. Remember, a pace is something that's always true for the client, right? And I'm going to give you conditional binds in two different ways. Here's the first way. Conditional bind as a statement, which is, for example, if you want a good deal on a house, right, that's a pace. Yes, of course I do. Everybody does. If you want a good deal on a house, yes, I do. Then we need to act fast because the best deals go first. Okay, if pace, then lead. So what happens is two things. The client always agrees to the pace. Why? Because paces are always true for the client, by definition. And the relationship between the pace and the lead is true. Good deal, act fast. That makes sense, right? That's palatable. That's believable. If you want a good deal, you got to move quickly. Okay, I believe the relationship too. So then act quickly, act fast. The lead gets absorbed as factual by the client. Right? If you want a good deal, then we need to act fast because the good deal sell first. And the client goes, yeah, that totally makes sense. Okay, good. Let's write an offer right now. If pace, then lead. Example number two, if you want to be in control of your business, what happened to all of you right now? Yes, of course. My business, of course I do. Yes, you're already a yes. If you want to be in control of your business, yes, I do, then you already know that you must lead generate consistently. Yeah, I know. I need to get better at that. I know. Yes. See how much easier it is. Now, if I had said, you have to lead generate every day, Oh, God, I hate it. Right? If I make it as a statement, it puts you in judgment. If I deliver it as an if pace then lead, it's much easier to digest. And what's our goal in sales? Is to get the lead absorbed by the seller, by the client. Maybe it's a buyer, maybe it's a whatever. Okay, number three, maybe for your kids. Hey, if you want to go to the game this weekend, yes, yes, I do, I want to go to the game, then you better finish your homework by Friday. Oh, got it. Okay. So they absorb the pace because it's true for them. And then the relationship, oh, get this done, if this, then that. The relationship of if-then is almost always absorbed as factual. Then the client will absorb the lead. That, by definition, is sales. Have the client absorb your lead. Sign the contract. Oh, great. Invite me over. Great. Reduce the price. Right? Those are our leads. Our goal is to get the client to say yes to our leads. That's sales. All right. The conditional bind, there's two ways we can do it. That's the first way. Statement. If pace, then lead. The second way we can do it is question lead. Instead of if pace, then lead, we're going to say, listen to this, as a conditional bind, as a question, we're going to say, would you like to get a good deal on a house? And the client says, well, yes. Okay, now, what's the pace? Well, the client's answer is the pace, right? Because they say, well, yes, I do. Then we need to act fast because the best deal sell first. Lead. It's what I want the client to absorb. Now, what if we did that first question instead of would you like to get a good deal on a house? What if we say, what's the most that you're willing to pay for a house? And they say, $450. Then we need to act fast because the best deal sell first. Right? Notice it does not make any difference what the answer to the question is, because their answer itself is the pace. So conditional bind as a question, example number two. Do you want to be in control of your business? Yes, yes, I do. Then you already know you have to lead generate consistently. Again, as a pace, as a question, number three, are you committed to retiring someday? Well, yes, of course I am. Now the lead. Then let's start collecting some rental properties and generating passive income for you. Now, if I said that as a statement, I'd say, if you'd like to retire when you're 65, then we should start getting you some rental properties. As a question, at what age would you like to retire? 60. Great. Then we need to start getting some rental properties for you. Okay, so this is the structure of the conditional bind. It's if pace, then lead. Or, hey, what about this question? And they go, yeah, here's my answer. Great. Then here's the lead. So whatever their answer is, regardless of what their answer is, it becomes the pace that we use to leverage the lead. All right, so we have three topics to cover today. That was one. Okay, questions, comments, examples, ahas. Anything while we're here. Do you guys like that? Is that helpful? Hopefully this structure will be easy to use and easy to put into play right away.
Joel?
That sounds like Douglas.
Yeah, hi. How are you?
Great. Thanks, man.
The timing's perfect for this because I worked so hard on the previous lesson. And what I was noticing today on my way to work, I've been using pacing and leading to encourage myself to break through the belief I have of where I'm at and to take on more work with more enthusiasm and more. And what I'm finding is pacing and leading from last week is just brilliant in the sense that it keeps you present and that you.
Well, it forces you to listen to the client too. So in order to do that, you have to be listening, you have to be asking questions, you have to remember the answers. It forces me to be present, yes, and the client.
Exactly.
Agreed. Agreed.
Yeah, and just thank you. This is incredible stuff. I love where it's going.
Yeah, you're welcome, bud. You're welcome. Glad you're digging it. Anybody else? Question, comment, anything for this one before we jump to the next technique? Okay, so that was our first relationship, if pace, then lead, conditional bind. So here's the next one. The next one is called a single bind. A single bind also represents the relationship between a pace and a lead. It's going to do it a little differently. The conditional bind was if pace, then lead. This one is going to be the more you pace, the more you lead, or the more you pace, the less you lead. Or, look at that list below, the faster you pace, the sooner you lead. The shorter you pace, the easier you lead, right? Any combination, a mix and match doesn't matter. Any combination. So remember, the goal here is by delivering these inside this relationship, it keeps us out of opinion, it keeps the client out of judgment, and it makes the lead much, much easier to digest. Right, and that's really our goal, is to have the client absorb the lead, follow our lead. That's the name of the game in sales. So listen to this example, and notice the more you pace, the more you lead. The more you pace, the less you lead. Notice they're all mixed up. It doesn't matter any combination, no order. Listen to this example. The higher you want to drive the sales price, now is that a pace for your client? I'm sure it is. The higher you hope to drive the price. Yeah, I want a high price. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want this number. Right? That automatically gets a yes. So that's a pace. The higher you want to drive the sales price, the better job we'll need to do cleaning and staging. So that makes sense, right? The higher the price, the better the house needs to look. That makes sense. And so because the pace is accepted, drive the price high, yep, I'm a yes for that. And the relationship between the two, higher price means it needs to be cleaned and staged. Yeah, that makes sense to me too. Then cleaning and staging as a lead gets absorbed and the client says, yeah, you're right. All right, let's call the cleaner and the stager and make this place look awesome. Okay, so these are just relationships in which to more powerfully deliver leads so the client absorbs that lead. Okay, example number two says, the more committed you are to grow your business, the more committed you'll be in generating new leads. Easy. All right, I'm going to rip through these so we can write a few. The more excited you are about going on vacation, yeah, I'm super excited. The harder you'll want to work now so you can relax with a clear conscience. Okay, that makes sense. I should work hard right now. That's the lead. Right, last one. The faster I want my goals to come true, yeah, I want that. The more I must dedicate myself to living my schedule. All right, just for fun, please write one. Right now, take out a pencil, take out a paper, write one. The more you pace, the faster you lead. The slower you pace, the easier you lead. Anything. The more excited you are about moving closer to your grandchildren, the sooner we should get your house on the market. The better a deal you hope to get on the buy side, the more you're going to have to be prepared to fix some things around the house.
I've got one.
Okay, just for fun, let's write one. Yes, Milton.
Can I say one that I have written down?
Please.
Okay, good. The more you think about it, the more you realize a realtor's opinion of your home being high is not going to get it sold.
Good. You're missing a subject in the beginning. The more you just said, the more you think about it, the more you think about what?
The more you think about the price,
good.
The more you realize a realtor's opinion isn't going to get your house sold.
Good. Very good. So the more you think about the price, right, because we're talking about the price, they're talking to a real estate agent, we're talking about selling, right, that's a pace. That's a yes, we're talking about the price. The more you think about the price, the more you'll realize that the realtor's opinion doesn't matter. The market makes that decision.
and let's look at the market.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's true. Okay, good. Let's study the market then. Very good, Milton. Very good. Anybody else want to read one?
I'll give it a try, Joel.
Fire away, Douglas.
The more sentences I write, the more powerful my communication becomes. The more powerful my communication becomes, the more dynamic my business is.
Very good. So what Douglas just did was he did two single binds back to back. The more you pace, the more you lead. The more you lead, the more you do another lead. Right? Two back to back. Technically, that's called a bind that binds a bind. It's just two single binds together. Bravo, Douglas. Bravo. Anybody else? Anybody else want to read one, share one?
I'll try another one.
Okay. Was that Milton again?
Yeah.
Okay. Lay it on us, Milton.
The more you speak to me, the more you realize I'm an aggressive salesperson. That's what you want, right?
Good. The more you speak with me, right, because we're talking right now. By the way, don't say that as your opening line. Wait till you're talking for a few minutes. The more you speak with me, the more you'll see that I'm a powerful, confident salesperson. And that's exactly what you need, right? Very good. Very good, Milton. So can you feel the difference between this and let me tell you how great I am? Right? Because that puts people into judgment and they start thinking, are you great? Are you full of yourself? Are you just, you know, are you doing this to get the sale? Awesome. All right, last call. Anybody else have one they want to share? Going once, going twice? All right. So again, we have three things to cover today. That was two. We did conditional binds, if pace, then lead. And we did single binds. The more you pace, the more you lead. All right, the last one for today is called a double bind. This is my all-time favorite, most powerful, most easy, most straightforward close. I believe this is the most elegant, straightforward, cut-to-the-chase kind of a close. So a double bind, double, represents two. It's always a choice between two variables, like two leads. And it's always separated by a hard or. So basically a double bind is, do you want this or that? Would you prefer one of these or one of those? So really the goal here is to help the client focus by giving them easy decisions between a couple of options. And specifically, not any two variables, yet the two variables that represent either the two options that will move the client forward or the two things that are easiest for you or the two things that get them closer to their goal, whatever. Right? So when somebody says, hey, I need to sell my house, which, you know, come over and take a look at it and let's get cooking, I might say, sure. And now I open my schedule and I say, sure. So let's find a time in our schedules that works. Would you prefer a midday appointment or an evening appointment? And they say, evening. Great. Would you prefer early in the week or late in the week? And they say, early in the week. Great. So now I have late in the day, early in the week. Great. So I have a Monday at 4 available, and I have a Tuesday at 6 available. Would you prefer Monday at 4 or Tuesday at 6? And they go, oh, yeah, Tuesday at 6. So what did I do? Right? I gave them two easy choices to narrow them down. Do you want this one or that one? This one. Great. So how can we use this to streamline for our seller? I don't know. Should we list the home today or should we have it go live on Monday? Now, my question to you is, do you care which one they choose? I don't care. They want to do it today or have it go live on Monday? Whatever. In either case, you just took the listing. If they go, yeah, today's fine. Okay, great. Let's get all the paperwork done, and I'll call the photographer right now? Doesn't matter which one they choose. How about this? Should we reduce the price by 5,000, or should we just calculate whatever 2% would be? Let's do 5,000. Great. Sign here. I don't care if it's 5 grand or 2%, right? We need a price reduction. So two easy choices. Would you like to talk with me about joining my team, or would you rather just meet for coffee next week? Yeah, coffee next week's perfect. Great. You want early in the week or late in the week? Early in the day, late in the day? Great. How about this time or that time? It's the cleanest, easiest, fastest way to pull into agreement and to let the client feel like they're driving. The last example is self-talk, me talking to myself, you talking to yourself. Do I want to complete my lead generation today, or do I want to make up for this time on Saturday? I'll do it today. These are empowering questions to ask ourselves. One of my favorite ways to use this technique is, sorry, I just lost my train of thought. Oh, if you're showing property on the buy side, you might say, okay, you want a house under 400,000. It needs to be on this side of the river and on that side of the freeway, and you want a two-story and a pool and a blah, 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 blah. And fortunately for you, I've narrowed the search down by your criteria and your drive time and your price point. I've narrowed it down to these four. So these four I'm holding in my hand, this list of these four houses, your ideal home is one of these four. Isn't that great? Awesome. Let's go look. So you go look at, I go look at house number one, write a bunch of notes. What do you like? What do you not like? What's good? What's not good? I scribble notes all over it. At the end of the showing, I say, great, on a scale of 1 to 10, what do you think? And they go, that's a 9. Wow, 9. Great. I write down a 9. Here's where it gets fun. We go to house number two. Same thing. We look at the house. What do you like? What do you not like? I'm scribbling notes. At the end, I say, okay, if there's a conditional bind and a double bind, if you were going to buy a house today, would you make an offer on house number one or house number two? And they go, house number one is better than number two. Great. I scratch out house number two. Let's go look at number three. So now we do the same thing. We look at house number three. We walk through. We write notes. We like take notes, write down what we like, what we don't like, blah, 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 at the end. Great. If you were going to buy a house today, catch the embedded command, would you buy house number one or house number three? And they go, yeah, house number three. This place is killer. This is just right. We like it a bunch. Okay, great. We have only one more to see. Let's go see house number four. So same thing. Go see house number four. Write notes. What do you like? What do you not like? At the end, okay, here it is. Right? We're at house number four. If you were going to buy a house today, would it be number three or number four? And they go, yeah, number three was awesome for us. Great. Okay. So should we write an offer double bind? Should we write an offer on house number three, or should we just give them the price and buy it before somebody else does? Let's write an offer. Okay, perfect. Should we write the offer right here, or should we go back to number three and write it on the kitchen counter? No, I'm ready. Let's write it right here. Perfect. No, I want to go see house number three again. Let's write it on the kitchen counter. Okay, good. Let's do it there. So here's the question. Who controlled that conversation? The buyer made all the choices. The buyer made all the decisions. This technique empowers the buyer, the seller, the client, whatever, empowers the client to be making the decisions, right? It's their house. They get to choose. Yet who's controlling the situation, the conversation? Well, you are, right? Because you're asking all the questions. All right, last thing. So that's a double bind. A negative double bind is also known as a lesser of two evils. This is when you have a hard pill to swallow. So I want to give them the hard pill to swallow as option number one, or option number two, something worse. The consequences of what's going to happen if they miss it. something like that. So let's say you have a listing that's not selling and you're getting feedback and people aren't buying it, showings are slowing down. I might say something like this to the seller. Maybe a little pacing first. We've been on the market 8 weeks. We've had no offers, and showings are starting to slow down. Pace, 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 just for fun. And then double bind, or lesser of two evils. So should we reduce the price now, or are you okay to keep making mortgage payments and cutting into your equity? Oh, damn, let's reduce the price now, right? So a lesser of two evils is exactly the same thing. It's just a negative, right? I say this to buyers all the time. So it's totally up to you, no pressure, totally your call. You can either buy a house now for yourself, or you can keep buying your landlord a house. And they usually just go, oh, God, I never thought about it like that. Well, you're buying somebody a house. Maybe you should buy one for you. So buy a house now. It's not a negative, but it's a hard pill to swallow. It's a big step for people first time. Right, that last example says, should we write a strong offer right now, or are you okay to lose another deal? All right, so we did three things today. I'm going to give you my ace up the sleeve here real quick. We did three things today, which was conditional binds, if pace then lead. We did it as a statement and as a question. We did single binds, the more you pace, the more you lead. The more you pace, the faster you lead. The slower you pace, the easier you lead, whatever. And then we did double binds. Do you want this or that? And then lesser of two evils is negative. Like, do you want that one or this one? Right? Same thing in a negative. My recommendation is that you practice like this. This week, as you do your home play exercises, I hope that you're all time blocking 15, 20 minutes a day and scribbling out 5 or 10 sentences. That's all you need. 20 minutes a day of actually practicing. I swear you'll be a ninja in a couple of months. So my recommendation is for this week that you practice like this, that you practice two together, meaning practice conditional bind, end it with a double bind, and practice single bind, end it with a double bind, right? Double bind is the close. Get in the habit of using the double bind last to close the statement. So that might sound like this, conditional binds and double binds. That might sound like, if you want the most money for the house, then we should get it on the market right away. Right? Conditional bind. If you want the most money for the house, then we should list it right away. Double bind. Should we make it go live today, or do you want to wait? Do you need a couple of days to clean and prep and get ready? Right, conditional bind with a double bind. Now, let's try another one. A single bind with a double bind might be the more money you hope to make for this house, the sooner we need to get it on the market. So should we make it go live right now, or would Monday be more convenient for you? So you practice these three techniques like that, and write these sentences every day. I swear to you, by next week, it'll close a deal for you somewhere. Right? If you want to go to the game on Friday night, then you better finish all your chores this week. So do you want to cut the grass first or clean the garage first?
Joel?
Yes.
I just got to say one because I'm just holding it back.
Go. Let's hear it.
Well, we can either lower the price or make the house down the street the best deal on the market.
Yeah, so really good double bind. Would you, and I'm going to make one tiny little adjustment. Doug said, we could do this or we could do that. I'm going to change it and say, would you rather do this or would you rather do that? I want them to opt in. So,
okay.
So we could say, well, it's totally up to you. Would you like to reduce the price now, or would you like to keep helping the neighbors sell their houses? I like the question. Should we reduce the price now, or should we stay here and make that blue one down on the corner the best deal in town? Yeah, exactly that. All right, questions, examples, anything, anything. Again, I recommend that you practice these in pairs. Conditional bind, end it with a double bind. Single bind, end it with a double bind. And when I say double bind, I think double bind and lesser of two evils, they're the same thing for me. It's just another name for a negative one. I use them totally interchangeably. Doesn't matter. So if you have learned anything good at all in this course, then please share it with other people. You can tell all the people in your office about it, and or you could post it up on Facebook and tell other people about it and put a link to the site. That'd be great. All right? Conditional bind, double bind. All right, if you want to build an empire and retire early with lots of money, then we need to start collecting rental properties for you right now. Should we start by buying single-family homes, or would you prefer to start by buying duplexes and fourplexes? Whatever. So the subject, the paces, the leads are totally dependent on what the client needs. This is exactly why I'm not at all a fan of a script, because I don't know what the client needs. I like these language structures so I can go wherever I want. And as long as I speak inside these tools, the client almost always says yes. That's the goal. Much infinitely more powerful than a script. All right, we got like 2 minutes left. Questions, comments, role plays, examples. What do you need? How can I help?
Joel, this is Milton.
Hey, Milton.
And so thank you for saying what you just said. And the thing is, and I'll just go ahead and say it, you know, I coach with a company in the organization, and we live and die by the scripts. And really, when I'm on script, I make a lot of money. And so what you're saying is you don't like the script, or going by a script, but I guess, can you help me with that? Help me understand a little bit, just because, you know, my programming and you understand what I'm saying?
I know that's it's not a very popular statement that I just said.
Definitely
not.
I get
a lot of pushback from a lot of salespeople for saying that. So,
and the reason I'm even asking you to clarify is because I've noticed when I follow my script, I get better results. So please help me with that.
Well, there's step one, tier one, is winging it. That has horrible results. Tier two is following a script, which sort of keeps you on track, and it sort of keeps you focused, and it'll have better results than winging it.
Yeah.
Tier three is focused, committed conversation where I'm listening to the client, I'm getting in rapport with the client, I'm asking them questions and finding out what they want, I'm using embedded commands, presuppositions, tied-on questions, verbal pacing and leading, I'm using single binds and double binds, and I'm engaging the client powerfully, it'll have a higher close ratio than the script all the time. When you get good, this will have a much higher close ratio than the script. And the reason why I don't like the script is because the seller doesn't have a copy. Meaning, the seller can make a left turn in the middle of the script, and I'm like, now what do I do? Right now I'm off. And Milton, think about a time when somebody called you at home, and you picked up the phone, and it was some telemarketer. Right? Hello, Milton. This is Fred Smith at AT&T, and I'm calling about our long-distance services, and I'd like to tell you about the special deal that we have today, but wait, don't answer yet. Right, and when they're reading a script, how do you like that?
It depends. Most likely no.
Yeah, most likely no. Most likely no, because I'm clear that if they're, when they're reading the script, I'm clear that they're not listening. I'm clear that they're just, it might as well have been a computer to call me. When they're following the script, I'm clear that they're making the call about them rather than authentically listening to me. Now, if they had called and said, hey, this is Fred Smith at AT&T, and we have some unbelievable deals going on right now. I'd like to save you some money. Can I ask you a couple of questions? How often do you call out of the country? What's your current bill now? Right? That's somebody that's trying to find out what's going on, so maybe they can help me. But if they just say, blah, 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 and then we have this deal, we have that deal, but wait, don't answer yet, and wait, hold on. Right? When they follow the script, I'm clear that I'm being sold. And as you get better and better at these tools and these techniques, what you'll find out, I'm not telling you to throw your scripts in the trash. What you'll find out is, as you get better and better at these tools, you will slowly, these will slowly take over your scripts. You'll still have the same kind of questions. Right? So tell me, how soon do you need to be in Hawaii? And what's your prime reason for going? Great. What do you think your house is worth? So knowing really good questions to ask to help illuminate the situation are great.
Mm-hmm.
But having a canned response is better than making it up on the spot, but nowhere near as good as you're going to be here in a couple of weeks. Not even close.
Joel, can I say something?
Sure.
Thank Milton, you, Milton, this is my second time around doing this with Joel, and last time I was doing this, I was really taking it seriously, and I was doing my sentences every day. And there was a point where I made, I think, 23 contacts and took 13 listings, and it was all from this technique. And
so check that out.
I used to read the scripts
too. That's like 50%. Do you know anybody following a script that's closing one out of two? I don't think it's possible. This is why they say, well, real estate's a numbers game. You got to talk to hundreds of people, and you should get 5 or 10% should book an appointment. It's a numbers game because they're just regurgitating this script. When you authentically connect with people, ask them questions, find out what they need, get in rapport, engage them in authentic conversation, it's no longer a numbers game, right? I want to close 4 out of 5.
Yeah, and Milton, if you want to role play, you know, I think if you practice it, like Jimmy and I role play, and it really helps.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Awesome.
Okay.
Well, you guys can send me a message, and I'll hook you guys up, or you can post your numbers or share them right now, whatever you want. And
sure.
Milton, do you have a pencil handy?
I do.
Douglas, can I give him your number?
Is it pencil handy?
206-271-5757.
Very good.
5757? Yeah, 206-271-5757. All right, we are top of the hour.
And also, Milton, I get responses from people like, they'll look at me after I'm leaving and I've been with them for like a half hour and they go, my God, you feel like family. Or,
yeah.
You know, one woman I spoke to, she called her husband immediately after. She goes, honey, I think I just met either the greatest salesman in the world or somebody who overpromises. And fortunately, one of my friends worked with her husband, and he just said, you know, he endorsed me. But she's nice. In sales. She's in sales. She's number one in her company for medical sales, and that's what her impression was of me. And it's because I got her talking.
So, Milton, let me leave you with one thing. Most salespeople talk way too much, and now it's the customer's job to filter through and decide if you're legit or full of crap. My recommendation is I don't want to talk that much. I want to ask great questions and let the customer draw their own conclusions. And so I'm not leaving them in a place of judgment to decide if they like me or don't like me or if I'm full of crap or if I'm legit, because remember this quote. He or she who speaks the most dominates the conversation. I want that to be the customer. And he or she who asks the great questions controls the conversation. I want that to be me. So I don't want to, like, a script is like a meat grinder. I throw people in and turn the crank, and every once in a while one falls out the bottom that works. I don't want that. I want to engage people authentically with a real conversation, and I want the majority of them to say yes, not 2 out of 100. So, all right, everybody, we're a few minutes over time. Thank you for letting me run a little late. And the technique that we're doing next week, I think, is cause and effect, and it's like this week. It's small, it's short, it's easy to learn, it's crazy powerful. So go practice, write out your sentences, practice, 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 get as good as you can with this week, and we'll do another one next week. And again,
thank
you in advance for any plug, promotion you can do. I'm launching one next week, and Facebook has not been cooperating. Somebody took our site down, so our promotion has been kind of lousy. Anything you can do to share the love about this course for our next launch would be uber appreciated. So that's it. Thank you, guys. Have an awesome, awesome week, and we'll see you all next time. Bye, everybody.
Thanks, Joel.
Yep, see you next time. Thanks, everybody.